Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13, 1 and 2. We're in a brand new month. I want to encourage you, if you missed last month's series on the year of the upgrade, go on our social media and find out. We have all of the messages on Spotify, on Apple Music, on our podcast at Elevate Life Church Sacramento. And you can also now go on YouTube and you can watch those messages as well, because, man, I'm telling you, I don't believe you can get everything from the first time hearing something. And I want to challenge you that to hold to that word of the Lord for this year, that this is the year of your upgrade, but you're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to learn some things. Now, I want to go in another direction this month. And today, I just want to talk to you about I want to talk to you about something very specific in the Word of God, and that is having a different spirit. Amen? I'll talk to you about having a different spirit. Let's look over here at Numbers chapter 13, 1 and 2. Numbers chapter 13, 1 and 2. It says this, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence. Your word promises us that when two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of us. Your word also tells us, Father, that when we praise you, you are enthroned by our praises. Father, we know you're here today. We ask that you would help us hear you speak. I pray, Father God, that the word of the Lord would come forth in this house and that somebody would take hold of it and breakthrough would come into their family and their children and everybody around them. We ask that you move into this place today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, Numbers chapter 13 talks about a very specific time in the life of the children of Israel. It was a time where they had come out of slavery. They had been set free from Pharaoh in Egypt. And they had spent years being slaves to Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh is a type of Satan for us, okay? He's a type of Satan for us because and the children of Israel are a type of the church. And so when we read that story, we can see ourselves in it in the sense that before you and I came to Jesus, I don't know if you know this, but you were simply a slave to Satan. You were simply a slave to Pharaoh. Now, here's what Satan's real good at. He's real good at hiding. He doesn't want people to know that they're in bondage. And so he likes to hide. And so many of us, we never looked at ourselves and go, oh, I'm a Satanist. I'm serving Satan. You know, we would have never done that. But see, many of us don't understand that who was controlling us in our old life was the devil himself, was the kingdom of darkness, was the spirit of the world. And so when we read about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, we see that we've also come out of an Egypt. Can I get an amen on that? We can all look back on our old lives and see that we were enslaved maybe to alcoholism, maybe to weed, maybe to pornography, maybe to sex, maybe to trauma, maybe, you know, whatever it was in our life, we were slaves to those things. And then Jesus came and he set us free. But it's in the same way. Moses is a type of a Christ there, delivering the people. But the people got to a place where they were no longer slaves, but they also weren't in their promise. And they were what the Bible calls in their wilderness. And I feel like there's a lot of us today in this church that you're not where you used to be. But if you're completely honest, you're not in your promise either. Now, here's the thing about church people, right? We love to just, you know, rejoice that we're not where we used to be, but many times we settle in the place we're at. We settle in just, I'm not a sinner no more. But here's the problem. God didn't deliver you from the world just to give you a regular life. John chapter 10, verse 10 tells you Jesus' mission statement. I have come so that you may have life and life more abundantly. Many of us still aren't moving in that abundant life. And I believe this is the year that God does it for us. Those that have an ear, let them hear, okay? Those of you that want to sleep on that word, sleep on it. But I'm just telling you, as your leader, I don't want to be a church that's stuck in a wilderness season. Because when you read about Israel in that wilderness season, they were stuck in a cycle. The Bible says they literally marched for 40 years in a circle. That's what some of you are doing. Now, psychologists will call that living in a cycle. You do good, then you fall. Then you mess up. Then you're back to your old life. Then you do good, then you fall. That's how many of us are living. That's how many of your marriages are. You do good, then you get in a big, big fight, and then boom, we're not. This is how some of your Christian walk is. You do good, you go to church every day, every week for about a month, and then you fall off. Guys, you're doing exactly what Israel did, living your life in a cycle of defeat, a cycle where you're not making any progress. You're not getting any richer. You're not getting any better. You're just in a cycle. And see, the cycle is this. The cycle has a way of deceiving you that you're okay, because when you're okay, you're really okay. You're good. But then when you fall, the fall is great. And guys, I just want to get us out of that going forward in the new year. I want to see us advance to possessing the promise. Now, here's the thing. Only two men in a whole generation of Christians actually possessed their promise. The rest of the people of Israel, the million plus people, all said this. Now, we don't want to do the work. We don't think we can defeat the giants, so we're good right here. We're good right here. And guys, this is the problem I see with most Christians. They don't mind eating manna every day. They don't mind not being landowners. They don't mind that, you know, they don't ever get to go shopping. The clothes that they wore never wore out, the Bible says. Their kids' shoes just grew with their feet. And they like that. I don't know about you, but I like to go shopping. Can I get an amen on that, ladies? I ain't trying to wear the same outfit every day, okay? I'm not trying to eat the same food every day, amen? I want to taste the good life. But here's what you got to know. It's going to cost you. Now, let's look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 20 and 24. So the scripture we just read, God speaks to Moses. And God is trying to get Moses in position to receive their promise. God's like, hey, I took you out of Egypt, but you're still living in a wilderness. I want to take you to your promised land. So he tells Moses this, gather all of the tribes of Israel, now listen to this, and get the 12 best men. He calls them leaders here. Get the 12 leaders of all the 12 tribes and gather them together, okay? Now, I think that's important before we read the scripture because these weren't just common guys, all right? These were the best of the best. These were the guys, let's put it into our vernacular, our terms. These guys were people that went to church every Sunday. They served in a department. They tithed. They gave offerings. They prayed. They worshiped. They praised. These guys had it all together, just like some of us in this room. But let's read Numbers 14. It says this, "Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, and nor shall any of those who reject me see it." So what's happening in this verse? Well, most of us know the story. Moses pulls these 12 leaders. Remember, these were the ones that had it all together. And he says, go and spy out the land. Go check out the promises of God. Go see it. The Bible says they got out there. They came back. You ready for this? With a negative report. They came back focused on all the wrong things. They came back with a report to the people. We can't do it. There's giants in the land. It's going to be too hard. Can't do it. Now, granted, these were the good people. These were their best. The best of the best. These were their Marines. And these guys could not see that they had the ability to be able to take their promised land. And so God's upset. How many of you know God gets upset? Y'all didn't know God gets upset? The Bible says this about God. He is the Lord, he changes not. So if he got mad then, he has anger now. Now, thankfully, through the blood of Jesus Christ, he has satisfied his anger where he don't strike us down like he did in the Old Testament. Thank God. My Lord. But don't get it twisted. We need to fear him because he's not handing out promises to people that won't obey him. And that's important to know. That's important to know. So look what it says. So these guys come back with a bad report. And then it says this. Look at here, the last verse. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. My God, I need you to catch this today. Because Caleb has a different spirit, he gets the promise that nobody else except Joshua will get to taste. Out of over a million people, two guys got the promise. My prayer is this. Out of a million churches in California, God will look at this church and say, they have a different spirit. Out of a million people in your bloodline, I pray that God will look at you and say, because he has a different spirit, because she has a different spirit, they will inherit the promise. So this morning, I got to talk to you about how to have a different spirit. How to have a different spirit. Caleb had a different spirit. Now, there are so many hidden keys in the scriptures that teach us about Caleb. And this is why reading the scriptures through the Holy Spirit can reveal so much more to you. Because the Bible tells us that when Moses gathered the 12 leaders, he gathered them in a place called Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is a Hebrew word, and one of the definitions of that word is the heights of holiness. What does that have to do with us? Well, the Bible says Moses called the leaders to the heights of holiness. Guys, I got to talk to you for a minute about holiness. Holiness means to be called out, to be separated. We've got to get back to understanding that holiness means you are separated unto the Lord. Separated from what? Separated from the world. Guys, the world wants all of us. The world wants us to act like it, talk like it, be about it. And what do I mean by the world? The system of the world. And this is why you've got to understand, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's going to take you saying no to a lot of things. The Bible says, come out from among them, which means you've got to draw a line in the sand that says, you're not like them anymore. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We've got people still trying to be like the world, yet be down with God. That's as dumb as being a Crip and a Blood. A Northeño and a Southeño. It don't work. It's an oxymoron. It don't work. But yet we got in the church people that are still trying to move and flow with the world, talk like the world, act like the world, and yet come to church and think that church just cleanses you every week so that you can go back into the muck and the mire. It doesn't work like that. Tell your neighbor it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. What has to happen is we need to be set apart, which means this. We need to be holy. Now, why is it so significant that Moses called his leaders to the heights of holiness, Kadesh Barnea, is because it's in holiness that you have a higher view. There are things you're going to be able to see in God when you cut sin out of your life. You ain't never going to see how good God is until you get rid of that thing, that little pet sin in your life. Some of you got pet sins, and you're treating that sin like it's Rover. No, it's not. It's not a nice thing. Rover's about to eat your lunch. He's about to take your promise. And we have these little things that we do, and then we want to say things like, well, God's still working on me. No, God's not going to work on you until you make a decision to quit playing with sin. Now, here's the thing about sin, right? There's only one way to get rid of sin. You got to separate yourself. And this is the thing we're so afraid of. We're so afraid of losing some of the friends that we need to lose. There's some friends in your life you need to lose. Because let me tell you something. Friends help shape our perspective. And this is why some of you can't see what God is doing or what God wants to do, because your perspective is clouded by your so-called friends. How many of us have them? Ones we can depend on. But even Jalil said, with friends like that, you don't need enemies. Couldn't trust them with couldn't trust them with cheese, let alone your keys. But see, here's the problem, right? We're so afraid of leaving things that are destructive for us. But God requires holiness. So you've got a decision to make. Here's the thing. I can't make it for you. You got to make it for yourself. And just because you have the same last name doesn't mean they can't go too. Somebody needs to hear that. Especially if you're Mexican. Because we treat blood like it's everything. Blood is thicker than water, ese. And man, Mexicans, man, we stay together. If we're family, if we're friends, we go down with the ship. How many know what I'm talking about? You kick it with some of your family, you know they're bad for you. They're bad for your kids. Your kids should not be around them. But you, because they're my cousin, come on over. No. Listen, in the kingdom, you're still going to have to make some tough decisions. And you're going to have to draw some lines. And here's the thing. They're not going to understand it.
Yeah, true.
And that's okay. That's okay. Because what God is trying to get you to is a place of the heights of holiness. Now, what do I mean by the heights of holiness? The heights of holiness means it takes you so high you have a different perspective than everybody else. When you're living in the holiness of God, you could see things they can't see. Amen? Man, that's why when I was single, it was so imperative that I stayed holy. And it was hard. It was difficult. Come on, single people, talk to me today. It gets hard being alone on them cold winter nights. Come on, Valentine's Day just passed. Some of you had to turn your phone off. I can't see all these couples out there eating lobster and shrimp. I'm over here with my cup of noodles by myself with just Netflix. No chill. I'm just on Netflix with a cup of soup. And everybody's out. Everybody's getting flowers. You're at work just trying to do your job. People are getting candy delivered, cupcakes. And you sitting there by yourself, solo. It's hard. And you start thinking, well, I could call my ex. I could call so-and-so just for the heck of it. Some of you start thinking about that a week before Valentine's Day, right? Man, I could go out with him now. Maybe he'll get me something for Valentine's Day and I won't feel like such a loser. Come on, been there, amen, been there. I'm just telling on myself. But here's the thing. In those 8 years of being single, I knew I had to stay holy. You want to know why? Because when I am holy and separated unto the Lord and not given to sin and not doing this crazy stuff, I could see what I need to see. And here's the problem with a lot of singles. They don't know who not to give their number to. Now, some of us holy folk, we could see it. And you come into church with them and I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus. I don't know this fool, but I could tell already. Why? Because holiness gives you a greater perspective. So as a single person, I had to keep myself holy so that I could see what others couldn't see. And I got to tell you, as a single person, there was a lot of young ladies I turned down. And I had people going, man, what? Man, she's nice. Why don't you? Nope, I see something. She can't go where I'm going. She can't go where I'm going. She won't be able to make the journey. She won't do me right. There were some young girls that came around, and the Lord even showed me, this one's going to cheat on you in 5 years. This one's going to break your heart. But I go, God, but she looked good. Holiness gives you an ability to see. Amen? Without holiness, you just see what everybody else sees. That's the problem. So here's the thing. You get what everybody else gets. And what is everybody else getting? Heartache, divorce, second, third marriages. Come on, amen? Now, I know some of us have gone through those things, but let's make it stop now. There is a reason God says come out. There is a reason that you should fight to be holy. Because it's going to give you greater insight to the blessing and promise of God. Can I get an amen on that? Did y'all get something out of that? Now here's the thing. Moses calls them all to Kadesh Barnea, a place of holiness. They were holy, but it still wasn't enough. Remember, these were the leaders doing all the right things, the best that Israel had to offer. And yet, they didn't get to possess their promise. I can't tell you how many times I hear this in a counseling session. Well, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong. I'm doing this, this, and this. I'm doing everything right, and I'm still not getting my breakthrough. I still haven't gotten a girlfriend. I still haven't gotten a boyfriend. Man, I do everything right, God. And my blessing hasn't come yet. I hear that all the time. 11 spies, 10 spies were just like that. 10 spies were doing everything right. Still didn't get the blessing of God. And there's a lot of you guys doing everything right. Man, I'm tithing, I'm giving, I'm serving, but yet nothing's working. So you need to listen to this message today. It's not enough just to do everything right, because if it was, then this would be a work of the flesh. There's one component you must have, and that is a different spirit. A different spirit. That's what Caleb had. That's what the Bible tells us that Caleb had. Now, how do I get a different spirit? Well, we got to look at Caleb. Where does Caleb come from? Caleb, the Bible says, was of the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. To have a different spirit, you got to come from the house of praise. Can I get an amen? You got to be a praiser to have a different spirit. Well, we're trying. What I want to see this church be is a church of elaborate praise, because you cannot have a different spirit and not be a high praiser. Right. Now, track with me today, because some of us still come into church, and when the praise is on, our hands are in our pockets and we're just looking at everybody. We may sing, we may not. We may hold the chair in front of us. We may put up or tolerate the praise and worship service, but we sure don't enter in. I could pass the mic around to the praise and worship team up here, and they would tell you what they see. But I won't do that. Amen. Don't want to hurt nobody. Amen. But here's my challenge as your pastor. You're never going to have a different spirit until you learn how to praise. Caleb came from the house of Judah, the house of the praisers. Now, here's the other thing. Caleb's father is also mentioned in the Bible. His name was, forgive me on the pronunciation, Yenephra. What does that mean in the Hebrew? Well, it means this. That word Yenephra actually means it shall be prepared. That was his dad's name. What does it shall be prepared mean? Well, it's a statement of faith. It's the equivalent of going, everything's going to be all right. God's working it out. It shall be prepared. That was his name. See, Caleb came from a father full of faith. I wish I could get some kingsmen to produce children as a father that's full of faith. See, fathers, we've got to be people of faith. Not people of defeat, not people of Modelo, Corona, Chronic. Oh, come on, I can keep going. We need to be people of faith. It's interesting about those 12 spies. There's only two that we name our children after. Joshua, Caleb. What were the other 10 names? I don't know. And you know what else? I don't care. And neither do you. You want to know why? Because they were losers. They were losers. Nobody names their kids after them. Amen? And that's good. Why would you name your kid after a loser? Why would you do that? I got some jokes right here, but I'm going to hold back. Hallelujah. Shikata, pray for your pastor right now. Why would you do that? What spirit do you have? So Caleb comes from, here, the tribe of Judah, which means this. He was raised around praisers. Remember I was telling you your friends shape your perspective? Y'all got to get some new friends. Well, Pastor, how do we do that? Come to church and stick around a while. Come every week. Introduce yourself. Talk to somebody. Come to the special meetings. Why? Because you need some new friends. Because the friends you have are shaping your perspective. The friends you have right now don't think anything's wrong with getting drunk. The friends you have right now will cheat on their wife if the girl's fine. The friends you have right now don't see anything wrong, come on, with a little bump and grind. Don't make me sing it, y'all. He's canceled. But see, that is the problem, right? So we come in here for an hour and a half, but the rest of our week, we're still around people that have a different perspective. And then you're coming in here and you're only giving me an hour and a half to change your perspective. I can't. You need some new friends. Caleb was of a different spirit because he came from a tribe of praisers. Praisers who are always giving God praise. Now, what is praise? Praise is basically giving God back an adoration and recognition for who he is. You are mighty, Lord God. You never fail. Come on. You never fail. And praisers are coming before God, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Where praisers are always rehearsing who God is, how great he is, how mighty he is. That's what praisers do. You need to get around some praisers. But greater than that, you need to become a praiser. And Caleb had a father of faith. See, it takes faith in praise to produce another spirit. Can I get an amen on that? Now, here's the thing about praise that you might not know. Praise, one of the words for praise, and there's many words in the Hebrew language that are translated into praise. But one of the words is yada. Everybody say yada. Yada basically means this. It means intimacy. Intimacy. It's the same Hebrew word that is used when it says that Adam knew Eve. They were intimate. Can I get an amen on that? And what came of that? Well, they had Cain and Abel out of their intimacy. So one of the words to describe praise is intimacy. Now, don't get weird with this, but understand this. When you praise God, it impregnates you with his purposes. And when you're impregnated with his purposes, no challenge that you see will ever stop you. This is part of what made Caleb be able to go into the promised land, him and Joshua. And while these 10 guys over here were going, we can't beat these giants. We can't do this. Oh my gosh, these guys are going to kill us. We're grasshoppers in their sight. Caleb was able to look and go, oh man, we got this. Look at them bowling ball grapes over there. Oh man. Ooh, that mountain's where I'm going to build my house. And him and Joshua came back with a different perspective because they were praisers. I'm trying to get a church full of praisers. Now, here's the problem that we're having in the American church right now, okay? Now, I've been serving God now for over 30 years. I've seen a lot. And because I travel the world, close to 50 different nations I've been to, over 100 international trips, I get to see the body of Christ from a very unique perspective. Because Christianity is not an American religion. Amen? It's a Middle Eastern religion. And we try to make Christianity fit our culture. It doesn't fit our culture. Our culture must bow to Christianity. But because I've been serving God for so long, I've seen much of the world try to creep in to the house of God. And what we have tried to do is we've tried to make church a little bit more palatable for people that don't know Jesus. Let me put it to you like this. We basically try to make church a little less weird. How many would say that's a fair assessment? Especially some of my OGs here that have been to some weird churches. I could raise my hand to that. And that sounds like a good idea. Except when you read the Bible, and that's the problem, most people don't, there are some things that we're not going to be able to get away from that are straight up weird. And that is the way God's intended it to be. So if I try to get rid of all the weird in Christianity, the problem begins to be this. I'm messing with the purpose for the weird. And so if I remove the weird, I'm also removing the blessing that comes with it. I want to be careful here because I'm not saying let's be weird for weird's sake. No. But there are certain things in the Bible that we can't get away from. And here's this. If we're honest, praise can be interpreted as weird. And this is why in the last 20 years in the American church, I have watched Americans move away from praise and move towards worship. Now, what's the difference with praise and worship, right? Well, in our context, we usually know that praise is, to put it in layman's terms, and it's not this, and you guys would know this on the worship team, it's usually in the context of, well, praise is the fast songs, worship is the slow songs. It's so much more than that, but just to help you understand. And so what has happened in the church, we've pushed praise way over here. We may do one praise song, and we have embraced worship, the slow songs. And we like to get in the presence of God. And the worship is something we can just soak in. Worship, we don't clap our hands in worship. Worship, we can just close our eyes and sing very softly. How many know what I'm talking about? We can just, oh, I love this song. We can maybe put out a hand. Oh, this is so great. And I've watched praise and worship albums come out, and the majority of the songs are worship songs. But see, I've been in this enough years to know what happened to the praise songs. I've been in this to remember the times where I would go to church and the praise would get so wild that people would run around the church building and people would be up front and they'd be praising God and they'd be shikarabasata and the music would be going and we'd be praising. See, I just weirded some of you out. But I remember that. We don't see that no more. We want to hurry up and get through the praise and get into the worship because worship doesn't require as much from me. Here it is. Praise is foolish. There's a story in the Old Testament where they were bringing the presence of God back to Israel. And King David, in all of his majestic glory, tore off his clothes. Down to his boxer shorts, y'all. And the Bible says that he leaped and praised in front of the presence of God. I mean, he just went to praising God. Remember, it's not an American dance, okay? He was Middle Eastern. Probably some African stuff in there. And he was. And he was worshiping God, praising God. And his wife was watching up in the window. Ladies, don't be that wife. Don't be that wife. So when David got back to the house, she said, look at you. Here's what she said. How dare you embarrass me, acting a fool in front of all Israel. Don't be that wife. Come on. But here's the message. Praise seems foolish to people that don't know God. This is our challenge in today's day and age. Do we want to be accepted by the world or accepted by God? We've got to get back to understanding praise. Praise costs you. Praise is undignified. Praise says it's not praise unless you clap your hands. Praise calls for a shout. Hallelujah! That's praise. We don't do that stuff in worship. In worship, we can just come and sing softly, and I could still look cool. I'm like, I still have my hair. I'm not sweating. But when they get to playing and you got to start doing this and your eye makeup starts running because it's a little too hot in the church today, and we don't like that. But here's the problem, y'all. Without praise, you'll never have a different spirit. Because what is praise? Praise is a sacrifice of my dignity for his glory. This is why I appreciate our praise team so much. I appreciate them so much because they get up here and they sacrifice their dignity. I talk to Miguel all the time around the church. He never comes up to me and goes, hey, pastor, what's up? How you doing? He doesn't do that. But when he's up here, he does it. And here's the thing y'all need to know. It's not for you. It's for him. But what would happen if we all came into the presence of God like that? Understanding that when the music starts, okay, I'm going to give God some praise. Now, here's what the book of Psalms says praise is. Number one, it's a shout. Number two, it's a dance. Number three, it's a clap. Number four, it's a lifting of hands. All of those things, if your friends from work saw you do, they would say, weird. And because that's all you hang around, you come to church and it's hard for you. And you're like, man, you may throw up one of these, you know? I want to challenge you when you come in next week. And I'm going to remind you. I'm going to challenge you to go, okay, I know where I'm at. I know what time it is. It's time to praise, which means I'm going to get uncomfortable, okay? Which means I'm going to have to move around a little bit. Now, I realize some of us haven't been gifted with rhythm. I get it. Some of you clapping on the downbeat and all that kind of stuff. I see the team up here going, no, like this. I get it. But, we are going to make ourselves give God some praise. Even if it's just the two-step. Come on, you saw the movie Hitch, right? Remember that? Just stay right here. Just stay right here. And give God a little dance. God, this is my dance. You know I don't dance. It's been a while. I've been to the club. So God, I'm going to give you the dance today. Whatever the praise music is, I'm just going to do. Oh, and God, here's something else I'm going to do for you. I don't like clapping my hands. It's weird, but I'm going to clap my hands for you. I'm going to do this. I don't care who the person next to me is. I don't care who's watching me. And God, I'm going to sing a little bit. My voice is bad, God, but you've been too good to me. So I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give you a little bit. See, if we can all just come in with that, that's the first step to a different spirit. Amen? Come on, stand on your feet today. Did this help you today? That's all I'm trying to do. Why do we want to serve in a Christianity that doesn't work? Why do we want to do all the right things like the 10 leaders and not get their promise? And that's the road some of us are on. But let's get off of that road and let's get on the road of becoming a different spirit. Let's be like Caleb, have a different spirit. And the first step into that is not being afraid to look foolish, but to give God some praise. Come on, bow your head and close your eyes. Father, I pray that this word, Lord Jesus, would challenge us. I pray that this word would get us conscious of what it takes to have a different spirit. Because, Lord, there are promises that people are leaving. Promises that they could have, but they're not willing to do the work, to fight the battles. Promises for their children and their children's children, if they'll only say yes.
Hey everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Make sure you check us out next week as we continue this series.